Thank you so much for joining us for SPIRIT, the Stimulating Program Initiative for Retirees that Inspires Thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Director of Community Services for the Orthodox Union, and it is my honor to host this program. The OU created SPIRIT several years ago as originally an on-site program, and it was held in New York, New Jersey, and in Florida. After a hiatus of a few years, we are very happy to bring it back as a virtual program. The OU recognizes that as the generation of baby boomers leave their professional responsibilities, they are looking for educational stimulation. The goal of the SPIRIT program is to provide active retirees, not yet retirees, seniors, and sandwich generation men and women with opportunities for spiritual and intellectual growth. As soon as the OU became aware of the challenges being encountered by the over 60 population with regard to coronavirus, we realized that SPIRIT would be the perfect way to engage all of this population in a virtual setting. Today's session is called Consolation and Compassion, Mourning Alone Together. We know that so many of us have sustained losses of friends, neighbors, and relatives. And since we can't participate in person at Levayas or Shiva calls, we want to know how we can properly and appropriately comfort our Avelim. Our presenter today is Reva Judas, who is the founder and director of Nechama Comfort, an organization of the OU's first accelerator program. She received her chaplaincy certification from Hackensack Medical Center and has counseled people around the world and has trained medical staff, clergy, and lay leaders in best practices for supporting grieving families. I want to thank everyone for joining us, and I'm sure today's program will be very meaningful and educational for all of us. If you have any questions during the program, or if you know of anyone who is missing today's program and would like a copy of the recording, please feel free to contact me at steinigj@ou.org. That's steinigj@ou.org. It's also on all of the materials that you received in advance of this program. Stay strong, keep safe, and be healthy. And join us next Tuesday and next Thursday for more SPIRIT programs. Reva, I'm going to turn the program over to Reva. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Judy, and the Orthodox Union for inviting me here this morning. Thanks to all of you for inviting me into your homes to share some thoughts, some guidelines to help the difficult but a very important task of making the Shiva visit. Not only making the visit during, quote, normal times, but doing it today's world, the virtual Shiva visit. Unfortunately, because of the coronavirus, we are being asked to pay our condolences much more frequently than usual. And I just want to also thank the Orthodox Union for having the accelerator program, for helping our organization, Nechama Comfort. We focus on helping grieving families who experience infant pregnancy loss. And what's interesting is during the last few weeks, people have reached out to me and to our organization for guidance and support because the Shiva visit and the mourner are sometimes feeling the way that we, the families who have lost pregnancy and infant losses, have felt for many, many years. So today, I also want to dedicate this presentation in memory of my sister, Sarah Shalamis Bas Haruf Simcha Aron and Malka Chana. My sister suddenly passed away before the virus in January. And we are still, our whole family still is grieving for her. So I would like to present this in her memory and in memory of my son's 33rd Yahrzeit, who we just commemorated during the holiday of Pesach. And his name was Pesach Ben Yehuda Daniel Veriva Bracha. So let's begin. I want to focus on a few things: the laws and customs of the Shiva visit, the emotional impact of the visit, and the new ways that we are asked to pay our condolences in the time of social separation. And many of these points that we're making today can be used and remembered and hopefully practiced even when we get back to our new normal lives. So to begin, I want to discuss for a little bit what is the purpose of Shiva for the mourner. And the first time we learn about the word, that we see the word Shiva, or we even have reference to the Shiva process, is in Parshat Vayechi, when we learn at the beginning of Perek Nun that Yaakov has passed away. And before he has passed away, he has given his son Yosef instructions about how he would like the burial to take place and where he would like to be buried. So this is the first time of parents conveying to their children what they would like. And in Pasuk Yud, we see the word Shiva for the first time. Vayavo ad goren ha'atar asher ba'aver ha'yardein vayispedu sham mispad gadol v'kaved ma'od v'yas la'aviv evel shiv'a yamim. So the brothers are gathered together. Yosef was told by Yaakov he wanted to be buried in Israel. Yosef took care of all the arrangements, and the brothers were then informed, and the brothers all came together to mourn their father, to eulogize their father, and to get the 7-day mourning period. Some Mefarshim have stated that we actually, Yosef thought about the 7-day period because of, in Egypt, that was the common practice, to have a 7-day mourning period. We are not told of any halacha for 7 days in the Torah itself. We don't see any of our forefathers sitting Shiva when their wives have passed away. So this is really the first time when we see it. And I can suggest that family dynamics were taking place in this first mention of the Shiva home in the Torah. After we finish reading about the eulogies and the Shiva, quickly the brothers become concerned or have been concerned about how Yosef will react to them since their father has passed away. So here is just a little light of where family dynamics began, where the idea of Shiva began. The Shiva visit is meant to give both the mourner time to be alone and to interact with others. It gives the mourner time to reflect and feel the grief of the loss, while at the same time assuring that the mourner is part of our community. At the end of the Shiva, the mourners are requested to get up, to leave their house of mourning, and to walk around the block in a symbolic way of announcing their return back into society. It's a way of saying, for the mourner to say, I'm beginning my journey back, incorporating my new reality with my old way of life. In the book, Wrestling with the Angel, The Jewish Insights of Death and Mourning, edited by Jack Reimer, he says, the great genius of Jewish bereavement is to empower the community to be God's partner in comforting those who mourn, and in making a Shiva call in an appropriate and traditional way, we can be the connection between God and in the mourner. And in learning the art of coping with dying, we are in fact learning an important aspect of the art of Jewish living. And when reading this, I had actually presented this this session a little bit a few months ago at the Bikur Cholim conference for the UJA, where I had looked into this source. But when reading it over now, it really struck. This is an important lesson to keep in mind for today's pandemic. The mourner will be given much more alone time than he or she may want, and will not be able to re-enter into society as they normally would. During this time, the mourner will be incorporating their new personal normal with, again, the new normal of the world. This may only add to the difficult time of the mourner, and makes our connections to the mourner and our roles as the visitor even more important, the connection, helping us help the mourner with their connection between God So that's something to keep in mind. It's always important to make the visit. It's always more important to share the connection, but even more so now. At the start of the Shiva visit, whether entering a person's home, making a virtual Shiva visit, or even making a phone call, it's important to always keep in mind the tone and the moods of the mourners, and that this may differ from the time of day. The mourner may change his mood and his emotions depending on the time of the day that the Shiva call is made, or with the other people who are sitting Shiva. You may observe a very wide range of emotions, from sadness, emptiness, relief, sometimes even a little joy, and remembering there's the deceased. And as well, there may not be any emotions at all. Some people will be loud and verbal, and other mourners may just be quiet. And many times you will find a combination of these reactions. Why does this happen? Because everyone mourns differently, and the mourners are the ones that have the choice how they will react and how they will act. So it's important not to judge these different reactions. We need to respect and understand that mourning does not mean the same thing to everyone. And you as the visitor may have different reactions to the way they should be mourning, or the way that you mourned. Sometimes the reactions depend on the person they are grieving, an elderly person, a child, someone with a long illness, or a sudden death. The relationship between the mourner and the person they are mourning, while the person was alive, and at what stage of the person's relationship with the mourner did this occur? What was their relationship before the person died, early on? So these are all things to consider. You may also encounter in the Shiva house people who are not obligated by Jewish law to mourn the deceased, but may still have a very high level of grief. And those people are important to keep in mind too. A grandchild to a grandparent, a good friend, a neighbor, a close coworker. So the bottom line is, there's no checklist for the reactions of the mourner in a Shiva house. We, the visitor, have to be prepared and flexible and try to get a feeling for the vibe in the room, even a virtual room. Even over the phone, it's possible to get a sense of the person's mood. Or you may be close enough to the mourner to know the family situation. Often at the Shiva house, friends or family are found listening to the mourner, sharing stories and expressing their memories of the loved one. The simplest expressions and the most common are, he or she will be missed by all. We have such fond memories of the person. We're all here for you. We are so saddened. And of course, simply, the best, I'm sorry. Less is more in these cases. Be prepared that emotions may come out during the conversations. This may include crying and sobbing, both for the mourner and for you, the visitor. And remember, it's okay to cry. It's so much better to show your true emotions. Some people have commented recently that actually a Zoom Shiva home can offer better decorum and allows the visitors to pay their respects in a more conducive manner. I was actually on a Shiva visit last night, and there were many people on the Zoom Shiva visit with this family, and it was the last night that this family was sitting Shiva. One of the children, one of the mourners in the Shiva house, made a comment that, is it okay to actually say they've enjoyed this and they will actually miss it? Because of the way it was done, so many people from across the world were able to connect to the mourners and to share their stories, and in a very professional manner, that the mourners seemed to get more out of it. So I hope when this is all over, one of the things that we can remember is the importance of decorum in a Shiva house. I want to spend a few minutes now discussing some thoughts and guidelines on making the Shiva visit, and in particular, during this crisis, when more people are mourning and being isolated, both the mourner and the visitor. The message for the visitor and for the mourner, and I will take this from what we're hearing about the pandemic, we are not alone. And we've actually said this before the social media did. Some may argue that facing death and coping with grief heightens one feeling of loneliness, but we must remember that the Jewish approach has always placed loss and grief in the community and the context of family and friends. So many people who I've spoken to who are not Jewish over the years have really have adapted some of our customs of our grieving and mourning period in Avelos and have really respected how we handle this visit. So how does this new virtual reality Shiva first work? We have to remember that Jewish communities are very strong in their convictions of giving the mourners what they need. Times are usually set for visits, for meals, and for the mourners to take a break. And even more so today, there may be a limited time to pay our respects, whether through a Zoom funeral, a Zoom Shiva visit, or a call. Please respect their time requests. It's not about our convenience now, rather theirs. And in these times don't work for you, it's perfectly okay to reach out after the Shiva week. You could also write a handwritten note or send an email or make a donation to a charity important to them or you. Keep in mind, it is so important, the most important thing is to reach out. And how you're comfortable doing it, is you have many, many choices as long as you remember to reach out. So if you were able to attend today's lecture, then you've accomplished one of the most difficult parts of this virtual Shiva visit, getting on to Zoom. Check the times the family's available for a Zoom visit and be respectful of that time that Shiva begins and ends. Find out which mourners will be on that particular call. Will different family members have their own calls? Some people prefer to make Shiva visits with someone else when we're actually able to go into their houses. So they'd rather not be alone to do this. You can also do this with Zoom by arranging with a family or relative the time that you will go on together, and that may make you more comfortable. Remember, when spending time with the mourner, you are the visitor, but they are not the host, even virtually. The mourner is sitting on a low chair and is not expected to greet you. The best advice is to come in silent and wait, and you may join at any point during the time, not just at the beginning of the Zoom session. Take your cue from the mourner. If they feel like speaking, let them. If the mourner reaches out to you, what should you speak about? Well, it's obvious, about the person they are grieving. You may ask questions about their life or ask if the mourner has a special memory they want to share. And if you have a specific memory to share about the person, now's a good time to do it. And one very important thing that is difficult for most of us, remember, Shiva visits may be completely silent. If the mourner doesn't feel like talking at the time, so be it. Your goal is not to get them to talk, but it's to comfort them. Your presence alone is doing that. And that's very important to remember. By sitting silently, sometimes you're saying more than words to the mourner. You're saying, I'm here for you. I feel your pain. And there are no words. The visitor needs to feel comfortable dealing with the mourner's grief. This is not a good time to distract them from mourning. Sometimes out of our own nervousness, we may babble and talk about nonsense because of not knowing what to say. The goal is not to make ourselves feel comfortable. We need to do that before we get on and make the Shiva visit. What are some things that are appropriate to say to the mourner? As we said, do respect the silence. It's customary for the mourner to speak first. Silence is hard. Do listen more than talk. Listening can be hard, especially on a screen or phone, but it can be done. Be genuine and caring. Ask questions about them. Specific, even more specific questions. Where did your dad grow up? Did your mom have any hobbies? Tell us a story about the person that you remember or something that you just found out during the Shiva. The appropriate topic of conversation is the person that has passed away. Reminisce about his or her relationship to the mourner and to you. It's human to want to talk about, quote, normal things, but that should not include talk or gossip. And at the end of the visit, wait your turn to say goodbye. What are some things not to say? And I'm going to preface this by reiterating that nobody does anything or says anything out of, they don't want to be hurtful or harmful to the people, but really it's out of ignorance or because of people's own insecurities about death. So some of the common things that we've actually heard at Shiva visits or people have told me, I'm gonna tell you now. And remember that the mourner themselves may say the following things, and that's okay for them to say. And you can respond if they bring it up, but never initiate the conversation by saying the following things. One, how are you? You know they're not good. Maybe say something like, how are you at this moment? Or how is everything? Two, I know how you feel. Nobody knows how anybody feels. Even if your personality is the same as the mourner, even if you lost your loved one in the same manner, everybody has their own unique feelings. Three, at least she lived a long life. I'm always, or not as much now, reminding my friends when we go to make a Shiva visit at someone whose parent was blessed to live many long years, 100 years old, that the people sitting Shiva for their elderly parent are not sitting there remembering them. They're sitting there remembering their mommy and daddy of their youth. And many people will feel that even though their family member lived a long life, longer would have been better for them. Four, some people may say, and we've heard this, it's all right that your mom has passed away. At least you have a father. Or you're lucky you have a large family because even though one sibling has passed away, you have another one. It doesn't make that difference. That doesn't change anything about the loss. People cannot be replaced. It's for the best. We don't say that. Unless the person says it. At least he didn't suffer. Oh, you'll get over it. It's a test from God, and God only tests people he loves. This only happens to people that can handle it. Don't cry. So remember, it's their Shiva, and they can definitely cry if they want to. Let's talk about happy things. And during this pandemic, your instinct may be to ask detailed questions about the person that passed away or make comments related to the pandemic. Please avoid these. Don't ask, did they die of the virus? And if they did, how did they get it? If they didn't have the virus, would they have survived? Does anyone else have the virus? Are you upset about not having a Levaya the way you wanted or the way that the person wanted to or a regular Shiva? And please don't say, you know you're in good company. So many people are dying from the virus. Don't offer any legal or medical advice or opinions unless you are specifically asked by the mourner. Comforting a mourner does not mean distracting a mourner. Don't fill time talking about happy subjects or politics or business unless the mourner would like to do that, and he will initiate the conversation. Allowing the mourner to talk about their loved one is an important part of the grief process. We have compiled the list of do's and don'ts, and the OU and Judy, I think, will be emailing it to all of you sometime after the session. For some, leaving the Shiva house may be equally difficult as walking in. Most mourners say that the Shiva experience is exhausting. Please don't overstay your visit. You can come back and definitely reach out after the Shiva is over. When saying goodbye, you may wish the bereaved good health and strength, other blessings. You can also just say again the simple words of, "I'm sorry." It means so much. The formal phrase offered is the hamakom. God is referred to in this line as hamakom, the place. By saying this to the mourner, you, the visitor, is saying that God is everywhere, that we exist with him here and in the next world. The person who is gone is still connected to you. Together, you are contained in this place, and we are here with you. Today, logistically, on Zoom, you may need to wait your turn to say goodbye. Even after the formal shiva is over, I'm going to repeat, it's never too late to reach out. Continue to show you care by calling, leaving a message, sending a text or a note. Remember, shiva may be over, but the grief lasts. And as we know, there are no stages of grief in a certain order. Grief is not linear. There's no checklist. There's no time limit for the grieving. Continue to show you care. And remember, during this time of the pandemic, of social distancing, after Shiva will be even harder. There is no minyan for Kaddish or time to meet a friend for lunch or coffee. And people that are mourning loved ones that have passed away even before the pandemic, or commemorating a yahrzeit of someone during this pandemic, they may sense a feeling of guilt. How can they be upset about their loved one who passed away many years ago or before this pandemic? But they can, and I've really spoken to the mourners that it's okay, and I can tell you on a personal level, that your grief is still there, and we, their friends, family, community, need to remember that as well. One last important point is to remember to take care of yourselves. In general, Shiva visits can be hard and take an emotional toll, especially depending on your relationship to the deceased and to the mourner. And the current situation can just heighten these emotions and stress. Make the choices that work for you, how you want to pay your respects. Shiva visit, Zoom Shiva visit, phone calls, written notes. I'm going to repeat again. Just reaching out is the most important thing, but it has to be good for you too. Make those choices and how it's going to affect you. And you, the visitor, reach out to someone, a friend, a relative, somebody who's not sitting Shiva, but somebody that you need to speak to about your emotions before the Shiva visit, after the Shiva visit. You'll get our numbers afterwards too, our contact information. You could reach out to us as well. It's important, especially now during these times, to take care of yourselves. And this includes all the relatives, the friends, community members, and the strangers that may be grieving for someone they just met during this pandemic. And as we keep hearing in the media over and over again, we are all in this together. And we who are the burden of comforting our friends all the time and our relatives, and during this time especially, are together. We're together to first and foremost be there for the mourner, to offer them comfort, to offer them nechama, but to also remember to take care of ourselves as well. Our thoughts and our prayers for a speedy recovery are with those who are still suffering with the COVID-19. And our wishes of comfort and nechama are with all those who have lost a loved one, and may we soon all return to our normal lives.
Wait, am I unmuted? Can you hear me? Yeah, okay. Reva, thank you so much. That was so powerful that you gave us so many strategies that we can unfortunately use now and also at all times. Thank you very, very much. This was excellent. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Again, if you have any questions or comments or anything you want to tell us, you can always contact me. Judy Steinig at Steinigj, STEINIGJ, at OU.org. My information is also on all the emails you should have received. If you didn't hear about this program by email, let us know so that we can add you to our list. This program will be continuing, at least for the time being, twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 11 o'clock. Next week, we have on Tuesday, we have Ending Emotional Eating, Your Three-Step Plan with Bonnie Giller. That'll be on Tuesday at 11 o'clock. And then we'll let you know further in the week about the next program. Thank you again so much for joining us. And thank you, Reva, for such wonderful information.
Thank you so much, and everyone else. And may we know no more sorrows.
Amen. Amen.